Walking with God.
We often wonder what we should talk about in the discourse. I'm sure that I do not have anything new to bring. It's the same old, old story, but it might be said in a little different way than you've heard it before. But nevertheless, it's still the same old story. However, the more we dwell upon the scriptures and the lessons therein, we'll find it that as we grow older, it becomes richer and deeper in meaning. And so, I must say that the more I know about the Bible, the more I realize how little I know. The well of salvation is so deep. And one of these stories in connection with the Christian life will take the history of that wonderful man of faith, Abraham. Our text, the scriptural text rather, we find in Psalm 37, 23. The psalmist is declaring his personal experience in life when he says in this psalm that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. The steps of a good man. Well, we know that there's none righteous, no, none one. And who are the good? Ah, those who walk with God. Those who desire to worship God. And so we see that these steps are ordered, or a better translation would be ordained of God, in the sense that ye are guided and directed by divine providence in all the experiences of life, that ye may be followers of the Lord. And so these are the steps that the Lord is directing us. The Apostle Paul mentions in Romans, the 15th chapter, what sort of things are written for time are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And how wonderful that is, dear brethren, that our Heavenly Father knowing beforehand the weaknesses of our frame, he remembers our frame and knoweth that we are dust. He knows our troubles, he knows our weaknesses, and so he has provided helps so that it may comfort us along this narrow way. The Apostle Paul mentions in Corinthians that that the things that are written aforetime or written, the samples given aforetime are for our own admonition, for our encouragement along the way. This leads to us to the words of the psalmist again, the 65th psalm and 4th verse. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto thee. Blessed. Oh, what a wonderful condition that is. To be favored of the Lord, to be directed to him. He knoweth the way that I take. Lead me not in temptation, but deliver me from evil. All of these expressions are for our admonition. Now, in connection with the truth of divine foreknowledge, isn't it amazing that our Heavenly Father, as mentioned in connection with our Heavenly Father's foreknowledge, when unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. That our Heavenly Father already knows the divine arrangement for the redemption of this poor groaning creation. But he also knows the weaknesses and the trials that the seed of Abraham would have to go through. Our brother previously mentioned about Moses. What a wonderful example he was, and how our Lord referred to him. If he had believed in Moses, you'd believe in me, for he wrote of me. Our Heavenly Father already had known the course of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus said, when he referred, also, and Paul mentions it, when he referred to the Psalm, the 40th Psalm, "Lo, it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will, O God." God has already known what would happen. Not that he had coerced or forced anyone to do this, but he had known that the faith of our Lord Jesus would be so strong that he would continue all the way to the end to perform the greatest sacrifice that was ever performed upon this planet Earth. But now, let us go back to what Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God had already ordained that we should walk in the steps of our Lord, of our Master. And so we are his workmanship. He is developing in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. The good man, first conscious approach to God, as the Bible teaches us, is through faith. And even that is a gift of God. Did you ever stop to think, brethren, how blessed we are to have the gift of faith? It's not of ourselves, but that spark of faith that our Heavenly Father had given us, that we can delve into the deep things of God. In Hebrews, the writer, again referring to that 11th chapter and 6th verse, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We're to seek him. We're to strive to know and to hunger and thirst. It's no wonder our Lord said, "Blessed is the man that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness." And so, dear brethren, we'd like to refer to Abraham. Now, in connection with Abraham, basically we realize that God had given unto him the promises. "In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And we see that in the early history of mankind, that God was gradually developing this theme of the salvation of the world. In the case of our first parents, already it is shown how God is to redeem the world. In the case of Adam, you remember, they driven out of the Garden of Eden, and they covered themselves with leaves. But that wasn't pleasing to the to our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Instead, he provided skins of animals. There's a sort of a start in regard to the purpose of God in connection with the world of mankind. Then we go on to Abraham. Well, Let's go a little earlier than that. In the case of Enoch, Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God. Now, there must have been some revelation in connection with God's purposes. And Enoch, by faith, walked with God. Then we have another interesting character, and that is Noah. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, 9th verse, Noah walked with God. And the faith of Noah presupposes a revelation of God's purposes to the individual. Oh, probably not such a great revelation as we have at the end of this age, because we have all the history in back of us. And therefore, I must add that our responsibility is greater than those that had gone before us. We have all the accumulated knowledge of history to prove the wonderful words of truth. But unto these early faithful ones, there was some inkling of divine purpose, and they, by faith, walked with God. And so, brethren, we come to Abraham, and we'd like to refer to the life of Abraham. Not so much to the promises of God, which are related in the life of Abraham, but I would like to draw your attention to something a little more deeper in the sense that the course of Abraham, his faithfulness to journey unto the land of promise, is a wonderful picture or illustration of your consecration to the Lord, your faith in God and His Word. And the course of life is pictured in Abraham's journey to the Promised Land. Well, let us refer to the 12th chapter of Genesis. The first verse. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now notice, brother, here's Abram, living in Ur of Chaldees. Now, I know that it's hard for us to locate this on the map, but if you are familiar with the river Euphrates, Ur of Chaldees is located down near the mouth of that river Euphrates. And Abram, whom the Lord had spoken to in connection, or called him in connection with this journey. Let us try, brethren, to picture ourselves there if we can. You know, we're here so comfortable. We're enjoying all the good things of life, same as the world. But let us try to put ourselves in Abraham's position. Think of the call of Abram in this strange land. And the Lord, how he spoke to him, I do not know. But nevertheless, as in the case of Moses, connection with the administration of the law, covenant of Mount Sinai, administered by angels. And possibly the Lord had spoken by angels to Moses, or a voice of some kind that Abram recognized as the voice of the Lord. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of thy country. Well, now, brethren, you're located wherever you live, and it's not easy to move, is it? You'd love to stay there. Changes are hard to take. We like to be settled and stay in the place that we are. But think of this, of Abram. The Lord had called him, come out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Come right out of your father's family. Leave them all. Because unto a land that I will show thee. Oh, just show thee. Notice? So, brethren, isn't that the way it is with us? By faith, we have faith in God, faith in our Lord Jesus, the great Redeemer of the human race, faith in the promises as he's the great Abrahamic seed through whom all the blessings shall flow eventually. And here we are. We're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And sometimes we tell others about it. And I think we're odd. Something has gone wrong with us. We're going unto a land that the Lord is going to show us. Or just show us. We're like Abram. And so, brethren, Abram, with his remarkable faith, leaves the land. But in the second verse, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, beautiful words, aren't they? Wonderful words. But Abram, his faith was so strong that he believed them. And now, as the third verse continues, I will bless thee, bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, wonderful promises. But Abram has to leave his family. He has to go on a journey. Now, that's not easy, as you well know. But Abram's faith never departed from him. And he was strong enough, as in the fourth verse, so Abram departed. Well, now, brethren, it's easier for us, you know, I'm referring to physical travel now. It's easy for us to go anywhere today. Just get on a pair of wings and first thing you know, a few hours, you're across the country. But it wasn't that way with the life of Abram. He had his family, his father, he had servants, cattle, and to leave and depart from that land and to go unto a land that I will show thee, this was a remarkable step by Abram. And so he journeyed. He left the land. Well, now, I'm sure that Abram had friends and neighbors. We have neighbors, you know, and sometimes if we're going to go somewhere, and they'd like to know where we're going. So we tell them sometimes. But just picture your Abram. Abram, where are you going? What did Abram say? He didn't know where he was going. That's what the writer in Hebrews mentions. You remember? Again, we refer to Hebrews 11 chapter when we consider the life of Abraham. In the 11th chapter, the verse we find in the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Well, now, wouldn't it be strange if you told your neighbor, well, now I'm going, but I don't know where I'm going. And so Abram journeys. He leaves his country, and he journeys to a place called Haran. Now, I don't know the exact distance, but it's somewhere 600 miles. And if you remember the map, the river Euphrates goes up this way. Canaan is off here, but Haran is up there. He doesn't go directly to the land of promise, Canaan, but he goes way up into Haran. Well, now, that seems odd, doesn't it? But he journeys, and he takes with him someone that really shouldn't go with him. But he takes him, and that is his father, Terah. And to prove that this is the case, in Isaiah 51, the prophet is emphasizing this very point when he says in the second verse, look unto Abraham, ye father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Terah, his father, was not called. It was Abram who was called. But Terah went with him. Now, I think we're familiar with this. How true it is for you and me, especially me, when we consider coming out of this world, brethren, leading the things of this world, that is, our hearts are not set upon them. We're looking for a city whose foundation, whose builder is God. We're looking to the promises of God. And yet, we too, brethren, bring our old nature with us. The old flesh is still with us. And it has a tendency to walk away from God, not towards God. It has a sense of direction the opposite of God's way. It has a tendency to drag us down, not lift us to the Lord. And this is our great struggle. And as has been mentioned, our great struggle is the world, the flesh, and the adversary. And so, here's Abram, journeying up to Haran, and there he dwells until his father dies. Brethren, we cannot make any progress in this narrow way until this old man dies, the old human will. Someone had said some years ago in our class, well, brother, I don't sacrifice anything. I mean, I live just the same as you, and I'm not sacrificing anything. Well, brother, when you stop to think about it, It isn't the sacrificing of things so much, although that has a part in it. Our affections are not towards the earth. We're to turn them upward, heavenly. But brethren, think of sacrificing your will. Ah, that's not easy to do, is it? I venture to say, brethren, one of the greatest troubles, one of the greatest problems that we have is to sacrifice our will. That old man comes up and inserts my will. And sometimes we try to analyze God's will so it'll be in harmony with my will. You remember our Lord's desire when he went through that terrible Gethsemane experience. He knew what he had to face. In the flesh, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Cup of suffering. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Notice how quickly he submitted to God's will. And so, friends, the sacrifice of self is one of the greatest problems that we all have. And you don't have to analyze that. You have to study your own self. You have to study the motives that motivate you in doing things. And so we can see in the life of Abram, our own life, the struggles we have in the narrow way. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, when you consider the Word of God, how deep it is? It not only portrays the divine purpose of God, but it also can trace your life and my life, the struggles we have to overcome. So, Abram, after his father's death, Terah, then he leaves. Now, Abram was about 75 years of age. And he journeys towards the land of promise, the Canaan. But who is with him? He left Terah, but there's somebody else with him. Oh, his nephew Lot. Right? Lot is with him. Lot is a type of character that probably Abram said to Lot, God had spoken to me, and he's promised me some land, the land of Canaan. Well, we know that God didn't call Lot. He called only Abram. But Lot, well, I'm just paraphrasing. Maybe Lot felt, well, if my uncle gets some land, maybe I'll get some with him. Huh? Maybe I'll inherit this wonderful promised land. And so, brethren, it is interesting to read of what is said of these two characters. Of Abram, it is written, Abram walked with God. Of Lot, it is written, Lot walked with Abram. Is there any difference? Surely there is. Brethren, as we study these words of life, I find that these words have a greater meaning. And they have value in them for you and for me. Now, what is the difference between Abram walking with God and Lot walking with Abram? I'm suggesting, dear brother, that in the final analysis of our Christian life, that we must walk like Abram, walk with God. Oh, I can appreciate brother. I can appreciate their helpfulness, the instructions, revealing of God's plans and purposes. But if I'm going to lean on the brother for my salvation, I'll find that the arm of flesh will fail me. In the final analysis, we must walk as Abram did. Walk with God. And as we go through the history of these, the lives of these characters, we'll find the lessons therein. We'll find the course that these two individuals have taken. And so, brethren, how important it is that we learn to walk with God. A close walk with our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, following in his footsteps, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. For he is the new and living way, not the old and dying way of which Adam has led the human family into. And so, we follow him and walk with him. Let's go on. And Lot with him, as it says in that fourth verse. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they have gathered, and the souls that they have gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now the distance from Haran to Canaan, I do not know exactly, but it must have been around 400 or maybe 500 miles. Well now, brethren, that's quite a journey, with all the cattle and the women and the children. You know, is it? I marvel how they traveled. I marvel, too, when flying over here. I kept thinking of the pioneers who journeyed on covered wagon through the mountain regions of this territory. Abram was like that. And by faith only, going, he didn't know where. And yet by faith he journeyed. And he came into the land of Canaan. What did he find in Canaan? And Abram passed through the land under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. The Canaanite. Well, brethren, we know that Abram was called of God, and there were other nations that were in the land of promise, and the Canaanites dwelt there. I think we find the same thing, don't we? When I refer that we still have a little bit of the self-will in us and suggesting other things. And not only that, in the land of Canaan, but also there was a famine, as we consider that a little later. And when Abram entered Canaan, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I, what did he say? Give this land. Notice, first I will show thee this land. Now I will give this land. A little deeper. The more steps of faith that Abraham takes, the greater and the surety of that promise becomes more evident as the promise is now. The Lord appeared unto Abram, and he suggests, I will give this land. And so, brethren, when you and I journey to the promised land, and every step of faith that we take towards God, it becomes a surety, an anchor, more and more, a deeper faith, a greater love for God and for our Lord Jesus Christ, to go to this promised land. How wonderful our Heavenly Father is when you consider the life of Abram, how it pictures your life and my life as we journey to the promised land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Well, Abram builds altars, doesn't he? Isn't that wonderful? Brethren, do we build altars as we journey to the promised land? Oh, I'm not speaking of something physical, not a stone or a lectern or an altar of that type. No. Do we build altars? Oh, indeed we should. The altar of prayer as we journey towards this land. Oh, without prayer, brethren, we cannot get far off. Prayer is a sincere desire of the heart to know and to do God's will, to appreciate all his providential care and the sustaining grace as we go along to this promised land. Let us build altars like Abram did. Now, I ask you, does Lot build an altar? Does he build an altar? No. You don't read that about Lot. So, Abram builds an altar, and the Lord appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hiah on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. As he journeys through that land, he builds another altar, and calls upon the name of the Lord. Of the Lord. Oh, that altar building is so important in the life of Abram, and it is so much more, dear brethren, important in building our altar as we journey. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. And that, what was there? And there was a famine in the land. Here's the promised land. He's come to Canaan, and there's a famine. No food for the cattle. People are hungry. Desert-like condition. Famine in the land. Well, now, what are they to do? And Abram, the next verse is you read closely. Abram went down into Egypt quickly. Did the Lord tell him to do that? No. Incidentally, this is the first time in the Bible that Egypt is mentioned. And Abram goes down quickly into Egypt. You know, I'm curious what had happened so quickly. May it not be, brother. I'm just suggesting. I don't really know. Do you think maybe Lot suggested that? Lot might have suggested, or Uncle Abram, we heard that in Egypt there's a plenty there. See? Now, notice Abram does not build an altar asking the Lord. He immediately goes down into Egypt. And brethren, we do the same thing. Sometimes we're into trouble, difficulty, famine, spiritual famine. And immediately, we got to go into Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. I've known some experiences like that. Brethren who have, in their business life, and begin to starve, lack things. The first thing, they're down into Egypt, trying to get a little more. And they encounter trouble. It's so easy to do. It's a natural thing. Abram does not build an altar there asking the Lord. He just goes immediately. And brethren, we do the same. Probably, as I mentioned before, Lot may have suggested this. And they go down into Egypt and sojourn there. The prophet Isaiah has something to say about that. In the 30th chapter, the first verse. He's referring to it in the same sense as in the case of Abram. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. Woe. They're headed for trouble. That go down into Egypt for help. Has the world any help for us to the promised land? No. The world will just laugh and ridicule you. And yet, we can, like Abram, go down into Egypt. The prophet Isaiah says, woe unto them. They go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. Horses. Suggestion of doctrine, teachings, chariots, organizations. Woe unto them. Because there are many armed in horsemen, because they are very strong. Yeah, in the world sight they look very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek they the Lord. How beautiful is the admonition for you and for me. The world, Egypt, has no help to the narrow way and usually lead to further trouble. There's another illustration, another verse in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, the first verse again. Let us go back one chapter. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. Huh? Take counsel, instruction, not of me. And that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Huh? That's what happened to Abram. Went down into Egypt and added sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth. Abram didn't even build an altar asking the Lord's direction where he should go. How beautiful are these words and fitting. Not only in case of Abram, but in our own case too. Ask at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Yeah. Remember, Pharaoh is in Egypt. Another picture of Satan. And to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Oh, how easy it is for the flesh to trust in the shadow of Egypt, the world. But you remember that other beautiful Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, what a wonderful shadow that is. But Abram went down into Egypt, trusting in the shadow of Egypt. And so then, and this isn't the case of Abram. I will not go into the details, you know, of the family problems, Pharaoh, and Sarah, and finally Abram came back. And so we see, brethren, that Abram, and it came to pass, he came near to enter Egypt, and he said about Sarah, his wife, and so forth. So Abram came out of Egypt. 13th chapter, first verse. Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. You know, I can imagine Lot was contented in Egypt. There was prosperity there, plenty of everything. As a matter of fact, they did prosper. Abram increased in riches and cattle, servants. They come out of Egypt. But who did they bring out of Egypt? Do you remember? They brought somebody out of Egypt. You remember? Hagar, the Egyptian. They bring with him out of Egypt. And Lot with him. I think Lot hesitated to come out of Egypt, but he went along. On to the south. Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. He went on his journey from south, even unto Bethel, and unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Where his tent was at the beginning. Bethel and Hai. And unto the place of the altar which he made there at the first. He had to come right back where he left off, to that altar that he had made in the beginning. And so, brethren, you and I, in our journeys, in our wanderings through this wilderness, occasionally we go into Egypt and we get into trouble. And then we have to come right back to the altar where we have left off. Oh, what a wonderful lesson this is for us. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He didn't call on the name of the Lord when famine was there and he went out into Egypt. No. But he had to come right back where he started. And so, brother, we have to do the same. The Lord knows our backwardness, or our backsliding, as it were. He knows how weak we are. But he does also know that if our faith is strong, that he will guide and direct us to the end of the way. And so Lot also went with Abram, and flocks and herds and tents and so forth. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. Oh, here's another lesson. They come back where they were at the beginning, the altar that Abram had built, and now the land is not big enough for them to dwell together. Because Lot, his herds have increased. And Abram's herds are increased. And so there's a crisis there. One cannot dwell with the other. Ah, what is the trouble? What happened? Lot was walking along with Abram. He was interested in the land, wasn't he? He wanted a little inheritance of that promised land. But now, look at the herdsmen begin to quarrel about the pasture land and all the food that they have and the cattle. There's a quarrel there. Oh, brother, what kind of a lesson is that? Oh, isn't it true, brother, sometimes when earthly riches increase, that then we begin to have troubles? I know many people in war have encountered that. They have probably won something, and they wished later on they never won. Then, too, brethren, I think there's a little deeper lesson for you and for me. Oh, sometimes we may feel we're prospering spiritually. We know all the answers. I'm thinking spiritually, brother, not earthly. We become a little bit boastful. We begin to argue. You don't know anything. I've heard brethren say that to others. You've missed the mark. You don't understand. And then that type of spirit can't go very long, can it? It begins to argue. It begins to separate. And off we go. And then when you read about Lot, the 10th verse in the 13th chapter, look at it. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, he lifted up his eyes. I'll go quickly because the time has gone by. Oh, what wonderful lessons, brethren, for you and for me. Listen, and Lot chose. Notice the steps. He looked. Now he's chosen the way, and I like the way Abram conducted himself. Well, now, Lot, if you take the right, I'll take the left. If you take the left, I'll take the right. He gave the choice to Lot. And Lot has chose the way. And all upon the journey. And then Lot journeyed. Huh? He lifted up his eyes. He chose the way. Now he's journeyed on. Then what? He dwelled in the city of the plain. And he pitched his tent there. And as the story goes on, he was finally a judge in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, how wonderful are the lessons, brother. And so there are many more lessons I could go on, but the time has forbidden me. Let us consider, brethren, how wonderful is our Heavenly Father. And it's no wonder the Apostle Paul says, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning. It isn't just believing in God and faith in Jesus or believing in the truth, as we say, but it is seeking to know God's will. And God's will is not on the surface. You know, it's not a, like when it says, errors like straw on the surface flows. He who would dive for pearls must dive below. And so you and I have to dive for the pearls of truth of God's will concerning our journey to the promised land. It's no wonder, brethren, how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. And if we build our altars to the Lord, He will guide and direct us. Although we may go where, to one side or to the other occasionally, and yet He will draw us back together in this narrow way, walking with God. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than He had said to you? That is Jesus' refuge, the refuge we have in our Lord and Savior. May these little few lessons, oh, they're familiar, I know, but let us encourage one another that we may press on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And again, I want to say, brethren, that as you think of me, pray for me.
45, keep with me, Lord, to close in prayer and also to give thanks for our temporal food too.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank thee for the great gift of Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior, through whom we can come to thee and call thee our Father, asking thy blessing as we consecrated our life to follow in the footsteps of our Master. Dear Lord, guide and direct us as we journey through this wilderness, as it were. Sometimes we fail and stumble, but thou knowest all. And so we pray that thou will guide and direct us and help us to learn to trust thee at times where we cannot trace thee. We thank thee, dear Father, for this season of fellowship together as we meditate upon thy precious word. We pray, dear Father, not only for ourselves gathered here, but upon thy children everywhere scattered throughout this earth. We know, too, that their trials may be severe and difficult, but thou hast promised that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, and that thou wilt comfort and sustain thy people everywhere, especially in this evil day. We thank thee for the lessons of the Old Testament, the wonderful words of life that may guide and direct us to the end. We thank thee for the manna of the Old Testament, and as well as the manna of the New Testament, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Now also, dear Father, we ask thy blessing upon the temple food which we are about to partake. We thank thee, dear Father, not only for the temporal blessings, but also for the spiritual blessing. Father, living in the day as we do, we long with anxious longing for thy kingdom to come. Finish, Lord, thy new creation and end earth's weary night. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as is done in heaven. In Jesus' name, we ask and thank thee. Amen.